It's on the inside middle page, the bottom right-hand side. It's an article written by Pastor Donnie Bell, a man who has come to this pulpit several times. A very, very wonderful man, a good preacher. And he titles his article, Redemption. Redemption is the ransom of chosen sinners out from under the curse of God's broken law and offended justice by the sacrificial, substitutionary, sin-atoning death of our Lord Jesus. Redemption is the satisfaction of justice by the blood of Christ in the deliverance of God's elect from all possibility of condemnation. The redemption of our souls by Christ's shed blood also includes and guarantees the redemptive deliverance of our souls from the bondage and the dominion of sin, and the redemption of our bodies from the grave at the time of resurrection. All who are redeemed by the blood of Christ must and shall be saved by God's grace in Him. Once again, good morning. Good to have you folks with us today. This day, the world is involved in a great celebration. Many consider it as a holy day, a day to concern ourselves with what the world believes is the time our Lord was resurrected from the dead. They call it Easter Sunday. They even call the Friday before this day Good Friday. I was talking with Pastor Kevin Thacker about that yesterday. I said, you know what I think of Good Friday? He goes, what? Comes right after Good Thursday. Comes right before Good Saturday. And then right after that comes the Sunday, and then we've got Good Monday, Good Tuesday, and Good Wednesday. So it just keeps right on going. We too are celebrating this day. It's the first Sunday of the month. That's the day we get to eat potluck. And we do it every Sunday, first Sunday of every month. Well, almost every Sunday. Occasionally we take a break from it, like when we have a conference or a special meeting the week before, and so it's not every first Sunday, but usually we get together once a month and eat, and that's a wonderful time. I like pie, as you all well know. And if anybody was looking underneath this pulpit, you could tell. We are celebrating today, the first Sunday of the month, where we get to eat potluck. And then afterwards, Lord willing, we have another short message to prepare our hearts for coming to the table. The table of remembrance. Twice a month we gather together and we participate in what our Lord instituted as called the Lord's Supper. And I'm sharing this with you because of this. God's people celebrate a risen Lord sitting on His throne right now and every day of the year. I don't wait for one day of the year when the world thinks they know about what time, the date that He arose from the dead. I was looking at some pictures of a family member somewhere else in the United States, and we'll just leave it at that. And they were so excited and so blessed with the time that they got to spend in Jerusalem. Oh, it was such a peaceful and a religious experience that I can't even put into words. And she was standing in front of a hole in a wall that they say is the tomb of the Lord Jesus. And there's people in line to go to this hole in the wall. And what are they doing? They're calling it a religious moment, a religious experience. And to be quite honest with you, what they're doing is they're worshiping a hole in the ground. Look how close I am to God where He walked this very moment. Look how close I am to God right here. The book that talks about Him. It's a hymn book. And it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ from beginning to end. In our second message, we're going to look at that a little bit. Every day is a day to consider this point of the resurrected Christ. Not a day goes by that I don't think of the blessings of my Lord as my substitute. Do you go through a day where you don't see your own sin? I don't. Because I sin every day. The only time I can lay in my bed and say, Lord, I thank you that I haven't sinned yet, is before I open my eyes and become aware of what's going on in the world. After that point there, I can't thank Him for that anymore. I have sinned. It's what I am. It's what every person is. We are sin. We sin because we are sinners. And because we are sinners, we need a Redeemer. So as I go through every day of my world in today's world, I thank my Lord for the blessings that He has given me as being my substitute, redeeming me from the sin that the cost of my sin. I think of my Lord as He became flesh for me. God Almighty came down from heaven and became man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Whew! And He did it for me. How can I not be thankful for that? How can you not be thankful for that if He did it for you? Not a day goes by that I'm not thankful for my Lord and His righteous walk for me. Because if it wasn't for His righteous walk for me, I would be doomed. If it was not for the fact that He was made sin for me, then I wouldn't be made righteous in Him. And I cannot be in the presence of God Almighty unless I am as righteous as His Son. And when you get up in the morning as a child of God, one who has received a new heart, one who has received the truths of God's Word, and you think about that love that God had for you, the love that brought God down from heaven in the flesh so that He could die, so that He could shed His own blood for you, for me. I think of my Lord in providing Himself as my sacrifice. I think of my Lord in taking all of my sin into the grave. He laid down His own life. Nobody took it from Him. Wicked hands crucified Him, absolutely. But it was by the determining counsel of God Almighty. It was by His determining counsel, not the men. Folks, we worship a God who rules everything. Everything. He knows the hairs on our head. He rules it all. I think of my Lord's resurrection from the grave. Not only did He lay down His life, He had the power to take it up again. That's the power of God. The world wants to say that Jesus went to the grave, shed His blood for all mankind. It's called universal redemption. Well, if that's the case, your God is weak and unworthy. The God of this scriptures right here is not weak. He has all strength, all power, and all glory go to Him. And His blood was effectual in every way. And I stand on that. I have assurance in that. Do you? I tell you, if He's called you out of the darkness that you once walked in, not knowing Him, and revealed Himself to your heart, to your spirit, you stand on the same assurance. Salvation is of the Lord. I think about my Lord's ascension, His resurrection, and what He's doing now. How can you not help but think about where He is right now, especially when your flesh riles up and says a word that you know you shouldn't have said? Or your flesh riles up and your mind thinks about something you shouldn't have thought. A child of God knows that our Lord and Savior is sitting on His throne right now, ruling over everything. He's not coming back to this earth to sit on a throne here on this earth made by hands. He's sitting on the throne made by God Almighty, with all power in heaven and earth and the things under the earth. I think of these points, the points of His grace. You see, that's what it's all about, grace. Unmerited favor. We don't deserve anything. We can't earn anything. I don't care how good a person you are. I don't care how good a person your grandmother was. If she doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, she's in hell. Well, some of you grandmothers are still living, so I apologize. I didn't mean it that way. I'm old. Mine have gone on to be wherever they're at. Because of His grace for me, because of His love for me, I think of Him every day, not one day a year. Every day is where His grace is greater than my sin. Turn with me, if you will, once again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And while you're turning to 1 Thessalonians, allow me just to put forth some thoughts that we've gone through for the last few Sundays. Paul is writing from prison, and he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, the called out. That's what the word church means. Did you know that? This building is not a church. It's a church building. It's a church house. It's a house where the people, the church, come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We were called out of the world under the preaching of His gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen again on the third day, sitting on His throne. Paul is encouraging, thanking this church of Thessalonica. Notice in verse 4 of chapter 1, knowing, brethren, beloved of your election. That's the called out. In verse 6, he calls them the followers of the Lord. Those who faithfully follow the Lord. How do they faithfully follow the Lord? Because the Lord is faithful to draw them to Him. In verse 5, we read and spoke about the word in power. How the power of God comes to the people of God with power. Not with weakness. Not with the weakness waiting for you to do something, but with the power of God that draws you to Him. Brings you to Him. You say, well, does He bring me kicking and screaming? No. No. When the Lord calls one of His people, it's like a blind man who can see. All of a sudden we see. It's like going into a room and turning the light on. And you see all the furniture was there. It was so dark you couldn't see anything a moment ago. Now you see the furniture. A blind man now sees, I was blind just a moment ago. The revelation of God shows me that a moment ago I was standing in darkness. lost in my own sin of who I am. And all of a sudden now I see the power of God in His Word and the truth of His Word. We then spoke about how the Thessalonians turned from their idols that they had once served in verse 9. They had turned from the idols of their flesh. Oh, I made a decision for Jesus. You think that's new today? No. The nature of man has not changed, folks. We think maybe we're a little more sophisticated today because we have all these fancy things that God has allowed us to put together and come up with different things, you know, like cars, airplanes, putting hearts in one person from another. The hearts of men have not changed. People today come into this world just as they did back then, dead in trespasses and sin. It takes the power of God to show you what you are before God. You don't make a decision on it. In fact, the truth about God's Word is actually foolishness to the natural man. How can they know it? And then we talked about being delivered from the wrath to come in verse 10. Folks, I'll tell you, today is the day of salvation. If you're sitting here today and the first time you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love that He has for His people, and you're saying, that makes more sense to me than anything I've ever heard any preacher say, it's not this guy in front of you saying that to your heart, it's Jesus Christ Himself talking to the hearts of His people. I'm just a man. It takes the Spirit of God to move a heart. Today we turn to chapter 2. And I'd like to read, if you would, with me, verses 1 through 12. Chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, beginning at verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance. Now this is Paul, once again, speaking to these very ones. He says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. It was not useless. Trust me, when the Lord Jesus Christ, by His power, opens your heart, you see the power of God, the true power of God. They knew that the words that Paul had said when he brought the message to them was not in vain. They knew that it was the power of God touching their heart. But even after that, Paul says in verse 2, we had suffered before and we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. The world hates the gospel of Christ because it takes away the will of men. You know why the Israelite priests were so angry about these preachers in the book of Acts, John and Peter? You know what made them so angry? We can't have that. We can't have these two guys, these unlearned men, come into the synagogues and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because it revealed that they were using their own power. That they were using the authority as ministers and priests to manipulate the people. See, the story of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is free grace. All the other religions require you to do something. How do you think that guy on TV who keeps asking people every Sunday morning, just send me your money, just send me money. What do you think keeps him going? People sending him money. They're doing something. They're doing something for their salvation. The gospel of Christ is free. There's nothing you can do. He comes to you and gives it to you. And when He gives it to you, it's a good thing. Woo! I know once I was blind, but now I see. Verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but we, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory. They didn't look for the glory of men. Paul didn't preach for the glory of men. He preached for the glory of Christ. That's what the gospel of Christ is all about. It's about giving Him the glory for everything. Salvation is of the Lord. These religions in today's world, they want to bring you, if you'll just make a decision, then you can be saved. If you'll just pray the prayer, then you can be saved. If you'll just worship on Saturday, then you can be saved. Hogwash. If Christ will come into your heart and be merciful to you, then you will be saved. That's what happened to me. Isn't that what happened to you? Through the preaching of His Word, He opens the hearts of lost sinners. And He says, I am God, and I have died for you, and you see the love of God for you. How can you not love Him back? How can you not turn willingly to a God who willingly gave Himself for you? Nor of men did they seek glory, neither of you nor yet others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles, verse 6 of Christ, in verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as the Father hath done His children. That ye would walk worthily of God who hath called you unto His kingdom. Now Paul gives us an account of his ministry among the Thessalonians by expressing his deep personal regard for them and his thanksgiving to God for them, encouraging them in their faith, their trials, and their afflictions for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. He reminds them of his tenderness, his compassion, and faithfulness in ministering to them, exhorting them also to walk in a manner of life that is worthy of their holy calling. And we are in this world, but not of this world. Look over, hold your place here in 1 Thessalonians and look over at Philippians chapter 3. That would be to the right, if you would. Nope, wait a minute. Nope, wrong way. Left. Philippians chapter 3. We are not of this world, folks. If God has called you out of darkness, this world is no longer for us to be. It's a shadow of death. It's a valley of shadow of death. Why is it a valley of shadow of death? Because death no longer has its hold on me. My Lord died for me. He conquered death. Where is the sting of death for a child of God? Philippians chapter 3, look at verses 17 through 21. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is the destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Does that talk to, does that give you a picture of somebody weak? Does that give you a picture of some Jesus who's waiting for you to do something? Oh, no. The picture of a weak Jesus are those who are enemies of the church. Those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Those who feel that it is something they must do to add to the salvation of God's children. Now once again, go to the left and look to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Just before the book of Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look with me, if you would, at verses 29 and 31. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and that they that use this world are not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. If heaven's not my home, Lord, what will I do? Back to our text in 1 Thessalonians. As Abraham was, so are we. You recall the story of Abraham. He was a Canaanite. And the Lord called him out of that. He says, where do you want me to go, Lord? Don't worry about it. I'll show you the way. And Abraham continued to go from place to place to place. Every time he'd go somewhere, the Lord would show him the next place to go. And he lived in tents. He dwelt in tents. And he kept moving. This world is not our home. Our home is in heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ has gone on to prepare mansions for us. Streets of gold that will be enjoyed for an eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen, exalted King. He was sojourners, tent dwellers. Abraham trusted the word of God. He trusted God at his word. He was given the gift of faith. In Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, we read this, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. These dear folks in Thessalonica believed and lived as such. Their walk was a walk of faith. Did they do good things? Yes, they did. The world could see that they were children of God by the good deeds that they did, but they didn't do good deeds to be saved. He who began a good work in you will complete it. I don't stand here before you and tell you how to walk your life. God does that in His Word, and He'll bring you to that walk. Even if it's through trials and tribulations and painful experiences. These folks had faith in God's Word that it was true. Salvation from the wrath to come is of the Lord. Look with me, if you will. Again, continue to hold your place there in Thessalonians. We'll come back to it. But turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 for a moment. That's to the left. Right between Philippians and Galatians. Ephesians chapter 1. Our Lord tells us in His Word to hold fast to the simplicity of the gospel. Too many men stand before others and they try to preach a message, or I don't even know if you want to call it preaching, and they make it so deep and so, look how deep this goes into the Word. Do you know the gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple a child can understand it? And it doesn't get any more simpler than what we see right here in Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verses 3 through 6. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All blessings come from Him, don't they? Isn't that what we just read? Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ. We are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, as it says. He's known as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God the Father gave God the Son a people before a star ever twinkled in the skies. And God the Son was in the covenant of grace, said, I will become flesh and lay down my life for those people. Those sinners who could not be in the presence of God because of sin, I will become sin for them, so that they may become righteous in me. According as He has chosen Him in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. It's as simple as this. God the Father chose a people for Himself. Look at verse 7. In whom, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It's as simple as this. God the Son redeemed His people for Himself. Now look over at verse 1 and again at verse 5 in chapter 2. And you hath He quickened, given life, who were dead in trespasses and sin, who were blind in sins and dead. He hath given life. Now look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. It's as simple as this. God the Holy Spirit calls His people unto Himself. Now back in our text in 1 Thessalonians. And look at verse 13. What a statement Paul is about to make. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause, for the cause that Paul was speaking about, and how they were witnesses unto God also, and how holy and justly and unblameable that they had behaved among themselves, and that for those that believe. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us. Now notice who gets the glory here. You see, that's the child of God. We seek to give God the glory for everything, because all glory will be His. Plain and simple. He will not share it with another. Saying that it is your decision to come down and save yourself is stealing the glory from God. It's trying to say, well, here's a little bit of glory for you, Lord, but the rest is mine, because I'm going to make my own decision here. For For this cause, writes Paul, also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye, you folks, you believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. Pastor Gene stood here in this pulpit and preached, but it was not him who spoke to John's heart that day when I heard the gospel. It was the Lord Jesus himself. We experience grace. We don't just hear about it from a man standing before you. We experience his grace. What I mean by that is we experience his love for us when he sheds that in our hearts, sheds abroad in our hearts the love that he laid down his life for us. Oh, I know what I deserve. I experience the grace of God in hearing about it in his word. Ye received it not as the word of men, and here's the title from a message today, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. These dear folks in Thessalonica believed and lived as such. Their walk was a walk of faith that God's word is true. I don't need to change anything in this book, and we know that there's religions out there that do, don't we? Sprinkling. That's changing the word of God. The word of God says baptism, baptismal, baptistio, immerse. Sprinkling is not immersion. These folks walk in faith that God's word is true. That's exactly what Abraham did. Abraham took God for his word and left Canaan. He went where the Lord told him to go. Noah. Did not Noah spend all that time building an ark that people laughed at him for? What's he doing, that crazy old guy? He's over there putting a bunch of sticks together. It's supposed to float or something? Thing's bigger than any of the houses around here. And it took him 100 years or so to do this. Could you imagine how people laughed at him? He did it in faith. 8 souls were saved. How many do you think were outside drowning in the day the Lord brought water on this earth? I've heard that there were more on the earth of that day than there are here today. I don't know how they come up with that, but it doesn't matter. I know there were more than 8. Verse 13 is perhaps the greatest compliment Paul could have given these dear folks. Possibly the greatest blessing that he could pray would come their way. Paul, without ceasing, praises God that it is true of them. They heard the gospel of Christ from Paul, but they did not only hear Paul, they heard God. And they received the gospel of God's glory, not in logic of men, but they received it as the word of God. Look at verse 1 of chapter, or look at verse 5 of chapter 1, one page back. What does it say? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. The very one who calls his people. The very one who gives life. The very one who gives life to a poor dead sinner, so that when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, the power of God is exercised and Lazarus came forth. He didn't sit in the tomb and say, maybe later. He came forth wrapped in his bondage, or in his death wrappings. They wrap you up. That means he had to float. Imagine how people thought about that. And the Lord said, loose him. Knowing, brethren, beloved, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Folks, works through the God works through the preaching of his word. We read in Romans chapter 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And when the word is heard in power as the word of God, it works effectually. It works effectually to the quickening of dead sinners and the enlightening of dark minds. Henry Mahan wrote this. He said, men need to cease from arguing Scripture and hear the word of the Lord. See, the problem is that natural man cannot hear. They will not hear, for the wisdom of God is foolishness to the natural man. The natural man cannot see the truth of depravity. What do you mean telling me I'm depraved? I've never hurt anybody. You know, I've actually been a pretty good guy all my life. Isn't that what the young rich man came to the Lord and said? Yeah, look at all the stuff that I've done. What did the Lord tell him? Give up everything. Give everything you have to the poor and follow me. And he walked away sad. Natural man cannot understand one sin. One wrong thought. Did you know what to say? When you look at God's word and you say, I can't believe in a God who said that. He says, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. That's God's word. Those who believe in universal redemption are saying that is not true. That's a sin. When you think that I don't need a God, I'm doing just well on my own, that's a sin. That's making yourself a God. That's making yourself more of a worm, more than you are, and all we are is worms. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul says. A man who was used of God to write so many books for him. Oh, wretched man that I am. Natural man cannot see the truth in election. How dare you say to me that I don't have a free will to make a decision? How dare you say that only God's elect will be saved? How unfair is that? Who are we to talk against the potter? Isn't that what Scripture says? The potter has the right to make vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath, and that's exactly what God Almighty has done. And is doing. We just don't know that we're a vessel of mercy until the Lord calls us out and says, get out of those guys with the wrath. I've already paid that wrath for you. I've already taken that upon me. You don't have to go through it again. Natural man cannot understand the truth of limited, effectual atonement. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the price for his people in full. Sit down. Rest. Stop trying to work for your salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. He said, it is finished. So listen to the word of God. It's finished. Natural man cannot see the truth of irresistible grace. I was running from God, and he came to me with irresistible grace and showed me his love for me. Why would I run from that kind of love? Why are you running from that kind of love? Because you haven't seen it yet. You haven't experienced it yet. Because I guarantee you, when you experience the love of Jesus Christ in your heart, you will come to him willingly. Not just come, but run. My dear wife, regrettably, has spent 5 years living with this man who stands before you, not understanding why is he going to church every Sunday. The pastor up there must be brainwashing him. Oh, and then the Lord began to do a work in her heart. And she came. And by the power of God, he saved her too. That's so awesome. The natural man cannot see the persevering grace of God in keeping his people through it all. And delivering them to himself for eternity. You want to see the gospel this morning? You want to see the gospel in short form? You can give me another 5 minutes, can't you? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Again. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 10, 2. Now let's just begin at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, there's a version right there. You can't get more simpler than that. You who were dead in trespasses and sin, he hath quickened, he hath made alive. Verse 2, there in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And here's the gospel. But God. That's it. There's the simplest form of the gospel right there. But God. There's the good news. But God. God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 14 through 20 of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, back in our text. 14 through 20, and we'll close with that. Knowing the truth in the word of God, for ye, brethren, it says in verse 14, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Folks, I'll tell you, I have a lot of family spread all over this country. And one of my most favorite aunts stuck her finger in my chest and said, I will not have that Jesus rule over me. You will not take away my free will, she said. You have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, speaking of Paul, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored to more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? at his coming, for ye are our glory and joy. Paul's talking about the wonderfulness of their belief in the truth. Paul said, I don't want to know anything of you. I don't want to know anything of you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what he heard from these very ones. What do the people of this world hear from you? What do they hear from you? God help us. God help us to point them to our Savior. Don't look at John Reeves. You look at me and you're going to be sorely disappointed. Don't look at yourself. We don't trust our faith. We have faith in the Lord Jesus, but that's not where our trust is. Our trust is in the one who is faithful, whose word is true. How do I know that? I just do. Do you? Stand with me.